when trumpets fade. Have your Bibles, please. I'd like to have you keep them handy and turn with me very quickly to Titus chapter 2. We'll reference that verse in just a moment. These verses that we read, that Brother Frank read just a moment ago, gives us a little insight into a future event known as the rapture. Now, that word, while it never does appear in the Bible, the event is real nonetheless. We get that word rapture from the Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo, which means, like the King James Bible says, it means caught up. So the rapture is that future event when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will return in the cloud of the air and will catch away all the saved people of the world. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? Amen. It's a time that's known in the Bible according to Titus chapter 2. Look there if you will, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It's known as that blessed hope. Here's what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it's a blessed hope. While the return of our Lord is spoken of many times in the New Testament, there are only three passages that deal in the Bible with the rapture in any kind of detail. Now, I have had Frank read two of those references to you, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But there's another I'd like to have you turn to. It's Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, if you will, please. You see, these three passages are really the only three passages that deal with this particular subject. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. I want to draw your attention tonight to one common theme that kind of punctuates each of these references. The common theme is the mention of the word trumpet. We are told in clear language that the trumpet will be a time that it's going to sound at the rapture. The rapture will be that time when the trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel shall be heard. Trumpets are going to sound. I almost had our trumpeters, I almost had them getting ready to trumpet and blow those trumpets three or four times during my message. And I thought, boy, I'd scare some people to death. I may not do that. So I decided not to do that. But when the writers of our New Testament used the imagery of the trumpets, the people to whom they were writing were well acquainted with what they were saying. However, we modern readers need to be kind of educated about the significance of the trumpet. For example, in the Bible, trumpets were used for four specific purposes. Number one, the trumpet was used to proclaim a victory in those days. Number two, to call an assembly together. The trumpet would call the assembly together. Number three, it would announce a warning. And number four, it would call the troops to battle. So it's clear to see how the trumpets fit with the idea of the rapture. All four of these events will take place when the rapture comes about. I thought about this, how that the victory over the world will be announced by the church being raptured out. When the trumpet sounds and the saints of God are raptured out, we're actually saying to the world, hey world, there is now victory over the world. Number two, the saints who are called saints will be called to assemble themselves in the presence of the Lord. And that's going to be done by the sound of that trumpet. Number three, the trumpets will announce a warning of judgment to the world. Listen, not only are the saints going to be raptured out of here, but as soon as the saints are raptured out of here, trouble like you've never seen is going to come to this planet as the tribulation begins to run its course. And then number four, the angelic troops will be summoned by the sound of the trumpet to battle. Also in the society of that day, the trumpets were heard on a daily basis. The Roman army, which occupied most of the civilized world at that time, used trumpets to carry out their movements of their troops. Typically, for example, when a Roman legion moved, there would be three blasts from the trumpets. The first would tell the troop to strike their tents and to prepare to move. The second blast would be to alert them to fall in line and get ready. We're about ready to go. And the last trumpet would be the signal to move out. Now, notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, he tells us that we are leaving at what trump? At the last trump, he says. When the trumpet sounds, it'll be the signal, hey, we're going to move up to glory. Thank God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, incorruptible. We shall be changed. Folks, when the trumpet sounds, all those who are saved by grace will be leaving this world. It's the event that I want to preach about tonight. I want you to know that before the sound of that trumpet blast fades from our ears, several great events, precious events, will take place. Let me share those with you tonight. When trumpets fade. Number one, our Lord will have returned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. When that trumpet sound happens and the trumpet begins to fade, our Lord will have returned. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the time that we're going to meet the Lord in the air at the rapture of the church. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is amazing stuff to talk about, isn't it? Before the Lord Jesus went away, before he went to the cross, in fact, he promised his disciples he would return for them one day. Remember John 14, 1 through 3? He later reaffirmed that promise to the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. And just as sure as there is a sky above us that's blue, well, sometimes we don't see it in Ohio for months, but it's still blue, amen. And just as sure as that sky above us is blue, He's going to come. You know, Jesus Christ is going to come. He is going to return. You know, it could be tonight. Did you know that it could be tonight? He could come right now while I'm preaching. And that'd be fine with me. But go with me to the book of Acts. Here's what I really want you to see. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. He is going to come back. He promised He would. And even as He has ascended back into heaven, angelic messengers were dispatched to tell the apostles of the Lord's impending return. And when He had spoken these things, verse number 9, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the fulfillment of that promise is going to happen. Jesus Christ is coming. Not only is He going to fulfill the promise, He's also going to fulfill the purpose. While the Lord was making His promise to return someday, He also stated His purpose. In John 14, 3, the Lord desires to receive His bride unto Himself, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. You know, after all, you think about this, He paid the ultimate price, Jesus did, to redeem His bride from her sins and to cleanse her from all her past filthiness. He died on the cross to purchase His bride. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus Christ wants to be with His bride in the heavenly home. That's why He's coming back. He's coming back because He promised. And He's coming back because He wants to be with His bride. He wants to be with you and I. We are part of that wonderful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, Jesus, wants to be with us. Hey, let me ask you a question. Don't you want to be with Him? Don't you want to be with the Lord Jesus? What a thought, dear Lord, someday we're going to be with You personally. We'll see You face to face. We'll be able to handle You and touch You, talk with You. What a time. Roman numeral number 2, if you're taking notes. All departed saints will have been resurrected when trumpets fade, all departed saints will have been resurrected. Our present condition. Look at, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It tells us that those saints who have departed are asleep. Now let me stop there a minute. This does not refer to soul sleep. It refers to the fact that their bodies are asleep. When a saint of God leaves this world, they are immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. This was so true. And this was the conviction of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. And what did he say? And to be present with the Lord. I'm going to be absent from the body. But as I'm absent from the body, I will be present with the Lord. Everybody who dies in this life, his body goes to the grave. But his spirit and his soul go back to God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. What about Philippians chapter 1, verse 23? For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. But he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, the question may arise as to what manner of body would we possess. Go with me in preparation to Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 3. The question may arise as to what manner of body that we possess. Preacher, you say when we die, our body goes to the grave and our spirit and our soul go back to God. Well, how are we up there? What is it we have? Certainly they do not have their glorified bodies yet. That would be too soon. However, it would seem that they possess some sort of a spiritual body. When Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, they possessed bodies that could be seen and recognized. Do you have Matthew 17, verse number 3? They were recognizable in those days. Whatever form they were in, they are recognizable. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Well, Moses was dead, but Elijah had been translated. There you see three different bodies. Christ in his glorified body, Moses in what I call a soulish body, and Elijah in his natural body. He hadn't died yet. And there they were, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that soulish body can be recognized. They saw Moses. But Moses had never been resurrected. Because Jesus Christ was the first fruits, not Moses. So yeah, you'll have a body even in heaven, even now, when you die. A soulish body that can be recognizable. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Whatever form they are in, they sort of have a place that's free from cares and pains and burdens of the world. But the Bible is also clear when it teaches us that nothing, in Revelation 21, 27, nothing that defileth shall enter heaven. Nothing is going to ever defile heaven. Nothing is ever going to be allowed to enter heaven that will ever defile. And so in that day, when we get to be with our Lord, what a day that's going to be. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what I would make sure this morning as I preached about salvation? I would make sure tonight that I was really saved. If you're listening by radio, make sure you're really saved and know what it means to be saved, because your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this book right here tells me, and this verse says, if you're not there, you can't enter in. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Their promised completion. In 1 Corinthians 15, 52, it tells us that the departed saints will be raised, notice the phraseology, incorruptible. And the dead shall be raised, you see that in the middle of that verse, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. That is, they will be changed. When they left their body, it was destined for the ground from which they came. However, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, He will bring their spirits back with Him, and He'll raise their bodies and immediately glorify them. He will then place that spirit back into that body, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Wow, what a joy that's going to be. How will all this happen, preacher? Certainly to our mortal minds, it's a great mystery. However, if you take the time to look back at the times of our Lord and when He shouted while He was on earth, you will discover something unique. And I'm not going to have the fellows get all these verses on the screen, but I'm going to say them to you so you can look at them later when you study. There are occasions in the Bible where the Lord shouted. And when He shouted, something happened. In fact, every time the Lord raised His voice or cried loudly or shouted, something happened. That you'll discover that each time He did that, dead folks got out of their graves. It's really amazing. First of all, go with me to John chapter 11. Just look real quickly, John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. He shouted in Bethany, Lazarus, come forth. You know what happened? Lazarus came forth. Now, if He'd have just said, hey, dead, come forth, man, everybody would have come up. He didn't say everybody, did he? He said, Lazarus. He shouted, and the dead came immediately. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 52, He shouted at Calvary, and some lived. You'll see that many came out of their graves. Go ahead, go to Matthew chapter 27. Maybe I ought to read that. Sometimes folks don't understand this verse. Go to Matthew chapter 27. I'll read it for you. Oh, yeah, I've got it on the screen. Great. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Look at the next verse, please. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Next verse. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Woo! Even in that day, when He cried from the cross, when He came up, those dead raised. You know, He took those folks out of paradise. Took them to heaven. Wow, what a God. What a Savior. But that's not the only time. What about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16? He's going to shout from the clouds. You hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible teaches me that from the clouds, as the shout, the sound is made, all the departed saints, whoop, will come out of their graves. All the, I don't know how, you know, there's all kinds of depictions of how they're going to open. Does it really matter how? It doesn't matter. Somebody says, what are the, is the dirt going to be moved and I don't know. I can't even answer that. You know, is it going to look like people are out of the grave? Or I don't know. Does it make any difference? You know, we split hairs about so many things. Well, I'm not going to believe it. If the dirt's not moved, I'm not going to believe anybody out of there. Well, listen. If Jesus Christ can walk through walls in His glorified body, and He did, and if He can eat, and He did, with a glorified body, don't tell me if God blew the trumpet and the voice of the archangel was heard, the body could come right out of that grave without disturbing any dirt. But if it was all pumped up, and that'd be fine too. Well, all I know is when the voice of the archangel is heard and the trumpet of God sounds, up from the grave, we will rise to meet Him in the air. And that's all that really counts. Amen. Now think about this. There's power in the word of our Lord. When He says something, something's going to happen. Roman numeral 3. all living saints will have been raptured. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. The church will leave instantaneously. Notice the words used in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. It implies speed and swiftness. It says in a moment. The word speaks of an indivisible point in time, a span of time so short that there's none shorter. In fact, it talks about in the twinkling of an eye. Scientists have determined that the blink of an eye is 1/30th of a second. The blink of an eye. That's fast. Now, I thought a second was fast. But how about 1/30th of a second? Now, hold it, we're not done. However, a twinkle of the eye is even faster. Somewhere they say in the neighborhood, I don't know how they measure this, of 1/1000th of a second. Do you know that'd be really quick? That's what it talks about. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul uses the term caught up. And that phrase means to snatch away, to seize with force, to claim for oneself. It refers to a sudden event when the saints of God will be snatched from this old world and claimed for the glory of God. The whole idea here is one of speed. And the reason we want to talk about this is because there's no forewarning. You know, people say such silly things like this. Well, when I start to see people get up and be raptured, I'm going to repent right then. But this is going to happen in 1/1000th of a second. You're not going to have a chance. You've got to be ready now. 1/1000th of a second. Changed quicker than I did that. You'll be changed. Be gone. There'll be no announcements on TV, no radio announcements, no papers. There'll be no announcements from any pulpits. God will not proclaim in a booming voice like a Charleston Heston, "The end is nearing." It's not going to happen. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. You need to be ready. Jesus, in Matthew 24, look at Matthew 24, verse 44. Jesus himself said, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now here, sometimes you're going to be out goofing around, and you're not even going to be thinking about the Lord Jesus. And that may be the time he comes. Serious. You may be sitting in church just having fun, not really thinking the Lord's coming. All of a sudden, here he comes. In a moment that you think not, he's coming. Wow. If he were here to come today, I wonder, here's the question, are you ready? Young people, are you all ready? Moms and dads, is everybody ready? Grandmother, grandfather, are you all ready? Everybody ready? Don't be deceived. It can happen today. Today could be that glorious day when the Lord returns. Listen, are you in that number? Do you hear the shout? Is your ear tuned to the trumpet sound? You see, only if you are born again are you ready. Can you imagine the chaos? We've all tried to depict that in stories and films and movies. You know, all the babies will be missing. That's for sure. All the babies are going to be gone. Out of every home, whether it's a godly home or an ungodly home, all the babies are gone. Right? The babies are all gone. Suddenly. Most children probably will be gone. Little guys. Some husbands, some wives. And it's true, many cars. You know, you got guys driving a car who's a Christian. Whoop! Car has no driver. Your mind can do all kinds of things. What's going to happen? I don't have any idea. You better be praying if you're going to fly. And the rapture takes place and that pilot's a Christian. Maybe I'll check whether he's saved or not. If he's saved, you better be concerned. Because he may be gone. I mean, I know they have depictions of all that stuff in all these movies and stuff. I understand that, you know. But it's really the truth. You have to let your mind think, what in the world will this world be like when the rapture takes place? Some of this stuff is not too far-fetched. I mean, just think about this for a moment. Trains without engineers, and planes without pilots, cars without drivers, television personalities taken right off the air, with a sharp will be broadcasting, boop, you'll be gone. Dave will be broadcasting, boop, you'll be gone. You who are still listening are going to say, what in the world happened? If you're not saved, better be careful about that. You better be saved. I know we make light of all this stuff, but great hysteria will take place. We better prepare for it, hadn't we? The church will leave intact. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul tells us that all will be changed. Notice the word all. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, I think we need to listen to this. The rapture will not be an event enjoyed by just a select few of really good people. Every born-again believer will have a part in the rapture of the church. The body of Christ will not be fragmented. Part will not be taken and part left behind to endure the tribulation. When the rapture comes, all the saints of God will go together. Because of the lives they live, some will not deserve to go. In my book. But it's not my book that counts. You know, I could say to God, God, there's some people in my church that shouldn't go if the rapture takes place tonight. I mean, there's some young people here, some older folks here. They just shouldn't go. I don't think God would let them go. It's not what I think. If you've been saved, born again, and you may not be living exactly right, but if you're saved and born again, you're going to go. If you're saved and born again, you're going. Isn't that something? So it could be that some we don't think deserve to go, they're going to go anyway. And that'd be something. You're going up, you say, you get to go? They may say, and you too? You know, we judge way too much. Yeah, we do. We judge way too much. We ought to let God take care of all that business. We just preach and love people and love God and let God sort everything out. All the redeemed of all the ages will leave this world as one when the trumpet sounds. There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom. Everything is level at the foot of the cross. Saved is saved, and lost is lost. And we're going to figure out one time forever if you really were saved or if you were lost. And you don't get to play any games here. Either you're saved or you're lost. Number four, all saints will have been reconstructed. I love this thought. All saints will have been reconstructed. Changed physically. At the moment of the rapture, all the saints will experience a radical change. These mortal bodies will be changed to immortal ones. The bodies that are destined to perish, our bodies then will be made like His glorious body. A body that cannot experience death. A body that cannot experience decay or disease. A body that will shine with the brilliance of 10,000 suns. What a day that will be. We'll be changed perfectly. When that change comes, it will remake us into the image of our glorified Lord. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It'll be on the screen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Look at the scripture. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Wow. Now, we do not know a lot about our Lord's glorified body, but we do know certain things. In John 20, verse 19, we learn there, it is a body not bound by time or space. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It's a body not bound by time or space. In fact, in Luke, and you need to go to Luke and see this, Luke 24, 36 through 43. I won't read the whole thing. But it's a body that can enjoy food and fellowship. Somebody asked me the other day in our geometry class, once in a while my geometry students really try to act spiritual. I think it's in those days when they don't want to talk about geometry. It's just normally before a quiz or whatever. They say, Pastor, we have a couple of spiritual questions or Bible questions. And of course they know that really tweaks the pastor a bit. They even work on Mrs. Close once in a while. And they say to Mrs. Close, tell Pastor we want to talk about this. So she'll come to me and say, Pastor, I think the kids really want to talk to you about a Bible truth. And I say, oh, okay, sure. Okay. I go to my class acting like everything's fine. And Chris or somebody will say, Pastor, we have a Bible question. And of course, I say, okay, good. We're talking about the Bible today. What is it? They ask me questions, you know. And they said, you know, did Jesus eat after he was resurrected? Then they ask questions like, are we going to be married in heaven? You know, kids are worried about that. They want to get married. Now they want to be married in heaven. And then they ask questions like, well, if we were married in heaven, and we was married three times, which one would we marry? Ooh. They ask really important questions. And so we're asking the question. Someone said the other day, said, Pastor, do we get a, we're hungry. Do we get to eat in heaven? My class is from 10 minutes to 11 to 11:35. And always about 11:15, somebody says, oh, I'm hungry. I mean, they're already hungry at 11:15. You know, if you see Alexis back there, she's as skinny as a rail, but she eats like a horse. I have no idea how the girl can stay so thin. I said, Lexi, my goodness, how can you stay so thin when you eat all the time? I don't know, Pastor, but I'm hungry. Can we get out of class early? They always want to get out of class early. And they always want to talk about the Bible. Pastor, do people eat in heaven? And I say this, Jesus ate with his glorified body. And so we probably will too. If you don't believe it, just go ahead and look at Luke chapter 24, 36 through 43, where he actually ate with his disciples. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it's a body that can never die. And then in Matthew and Revelation, Matthew 17, 2 and Revelation 21, 23, if you're taking notes, it's a body that shines with a heavenly brilliance. All saints will have been reconstructed. All this is enough to let me know that I want to have one of those bodies. Come on, amen? All the saints will wear a glorified body when we arrive in that heavenly home. They will change permanently. The language of our text tells us that we will be no longer mortal. These bodies that were mortal will become new bodies. And we'll be immortal. Will never wear out. Brother Brown, that'd be a good thing to have about you, wouldn't it? That you never wear out. You can shovel all the snow you want. I have a question for you. Is there going to be snow in heaven? How many would like to have snow in heaven? Wow. Hope you find that right heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:1. Yeah, I wonder about those things. Ever thought about that? You northerners who like the snow and the ice, is there going to be snow in heaven? I cannot answer that, so don't ask me. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We're going to have a heavenly body that's a glorified body that can fellowship, that can walk, that's recognizable. For you'll know me as I know you now, and I'll know you as I know you now. We'll know each other. In heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Yes, it is. Number five, all saints will be enjoying a reunion. And I'm finished. All saints will be enjoying a reunion. We'll enjoy our reunion with our wonderful Lord, with our wonderful loved ones. Let's talk about the loved ones first. Notice the phrase, together with them in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Notice, together with them in the clouds. That indicates all the children of God will be together forever in heaven. Now imagine being reunited with spouses and parents and children and grandparents. Imagine seeing your departed loved ones in their new glorified bodies. Precious in the sight of the Lord. I see my grandma. You see my daddy. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? What a glorious privilege it has been to be a saint of God and get to go to heaven and see my loved ones who've gone before. Lastly, with our Lord. Not only be a reunion with our loved ones, but how about this with our wonderful Lord? As great as it is to be in reunion with your loved ones, what's it going to be like? So shall we ever be with the Lord. My friends, one day we'll see Him who died for us. We'll be able to bow before Him in adoration and worship. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. What a day. You know, some of you just may shout. Maybe. Maybe some of you will. Somebody, we may get more than just, mm-hmm. We may get glory. Preacher, this is wonderful. Wow. I have not seen. You have not heard. Neither did it ever enter my heart what it was going to be like. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? Heaven. What a day that will be. Well, I've done a lot of preaching tonight about heaven, the rapture. I've tried to describe several different events that will happen when the Lord returns. Please remember this. Before the sound of the trumpet fades, the rapture is going to take place. We're going to be with the Lord. Are we ready for that event? Have you been washed in the blood? If Jesus came back today, would you go or would you be left behind? What I'm asking is this. Have you ever come to the place where you know that you were lost? You know, sometimes it's hard to get people lost. But you'll never want a Savior if you don't realize you're lost. You've got to know you're lost without God. Musicians are coming and I'm closing. Have we confessed our sins? Have you placed your faith in the death, resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Are you saved? You know, here's a good time to come to Him. Right now. If you've never been saved, here's the time to come. But would you just for a moment think with me how wonderful, how beautiful heaven must be? Isn't it going to be a glorious day to go there? Listen, it's not a pie in the sky. It's not a hope of defeatist kind of people. It's a true place. I can hardly wait to get there. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's stand together, please.